It was 23 years ago today. That's on April 26, 1986. The worst nuclear accident in history happened, and we know it by the name Chernobyl. A combination of unfortunate accidents and inexcusable human faults combined in order to produce that accident in a place that was then under the Soviet Union. 32 people died and dozens more suffered radiation burns in the opening days of the crisis. Yet the Soviet authorities tried to keep silent about it until the Swedish authorities reported the fallout as they could detect from the air in Europe at the time. The radiation that escaped into the atmosphere was in fact several times in power than that produced by the atomic bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in World War II. It spread by wind over the northern and eastern Europe, contaminating millions of acres of forest and farmland, and an estimated 5,000 Soviet citizens eventually died from cancer and other radiation-induced illnesses. So grabe yung aksidenteng iyon ng nuclear plant dyan sa Chernobyl. Not only the thousands who died, millions more had their health adversely affected by exposure to the Chernobyl radiation. And the cleanup took several years, and until in 2000, the last reactors in Chernobyl were shut down and Chernobyl closed. Well, this was the closest to a nuclear holocaust in our lifetime. Eh, mabuti na pigilan na lang doon at agad na pigilan. Here is something which was an intended good that turned really bad. But the picture of a nuclear holocaust is one picture used by Amos, though not in terms of nuclear warfare, but in terms of the termination of a whole nation, is how Amos portrayed the judgment of God upon Israel. Ang hatol ng Diyos laban sa Israel ay itinulad niya sa pagkakalipol ng isang buong bayan na hindi na muling ibabangon. At sa kasaysayan, nangyari po iyan noong taong 722 BC when Israel, the northern kingdom, was swallowed up by Assyria, never again to rise as a nation. They were terminated. God made true His threat that there will be no second chance again for Israel after He has been warned again and again. Oracles of judgment were delivered in rising crescendo, and yet there was no repentance. And when judgment came in fullness, and the nation was terminated. Now, it would be appealing to end the prophecy right here and be impressed with the lesson that God is just, His justice is served, end of the story. And that could end like that, and you and I should be impressed with the justice of God. But instead, we have in the closing verses of Amos a passage that sounds like it did not belong. We have been studying in the past messages oracles of judgment where punishment is threatened until the very ultimatum of the termination of the nation of Israel. And we have been seeing the wrath of God. It will be poured out. And if we try to be consistent with these oracles, we would expect probably something of a drop of a nuclear bomb on the very last verses of Amos. Instead, that's not the case. And I invite you to turn your Bibles to Amos chapter 9. We'll read the last five verses, and then we will jump to another passage. Amos chapter 9, let's read verses 11 to 15. Amos 9, 11 to 15. On that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does this thing. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. Now turn to a passage in the New Testament, Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, as you know, is the so-called Jerusalem Council, when the church had to address an issue of doctrine that threatened to split up the church. What should be done with the Gentiles who were being converted? And Jewish fanatics were claiming and insisting that they should become Jews by circumcision before they can be accepted totally and thoroughly. Instead, in the council, James made this conclusion in chapter 15 of Acts, verses 12 and following. Acts 15, beginning verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name,' says the Lord who does all these things. Known to God from eternity are all his works." Now here, the passage in Amos is the closing of the prophecy, which is clearly a note of hope and redemption. Sa halip na katulad ng mga nakbasa natin at pinag-aralang mga una, mga nota ng paghahatol ng Diyos at kanyang parusa, nagtapos ang Amos sa punto ng pag-asa at katubusan. Now, in the New Testament, in the very first serious controversy that rocked the church, leaders found a solution in this passage. So what is in this passage intended to give hope to Amos' generation, and yet James still found relevant in the New Testament as useful as a principle to the church? Ano itong meron sa ating binasa na ginamit ni Amos para bigyang pag-asa yung kanyang mga tagapakinig ng kanyang henerasyon, subalit mga 700 nakaraan pagkatapos ay nagamit pa rin ni James at ng mga apostol upang harapin ang isang problemang bumagabag sa iglesia? What is in this passage that was relevant both to Amos' generation, to James' generation, to Paul's generation, and I claim also to our generation? What is this passage saying? Well, Amos puts it in the figure of restoration. And what is being restored is the Davidic dynasty. The Davidic dynasty means the line of kingship which originated in David. Now remember, Amos was ministering to the northern kingdom. And what's the northern kingdom? The northern kingdom cut itself off from the Davidic dynasty. Pumatid sila sa dynasty ni David. At yan ang sinasabi ngayon ni Amos dito, that Davidic dynasty is going to be restored. You know, when you say dynasty, the line of kings coming from the very first origin, in this case, that of David. Kumbaga dito sa Great Britain, ang dynasty nila rin ngayon ay the House of Windsor. After Elizabeth II, Prince Charles is next on the line. And after Prince Charles, his son Prince William. That's dynasty. Now here, Amos is saying that dynasty which Israel rejected is going to be restored, and through that restored dynasty of David, God is going to rebuild this tabernacle. God is going to rebuild that structure which is fallen down. Yan ang tinuturo dito ng ating binasang talata. Merong pagtatayong muli, ngunit ito ay nakarugtong kay David. Ngayon, ginamit ito ni James sa New Testament para sabihin na yung propesya ng pagkaka balik ng dynasty ni David ay nagkaroon ng katuparan sa nakikita nila noon na pagkakaligtas ng mga Hentil, yung pagkakaligtas ng mga iba't ibang bansa. Ito ang katuparan ng sinabi ni Amos. And if James and the apostles could see the fulfillment in their time of this, I invite you to see the same. See the same fulfillment in our time, the expansion of the gospel. James saw the fulfillment. This is the fulfillment of what Amos prophesied. It is the figure of rebuilding from the ruins that becomes most instructive and encouraging. And I want to draw this message for us as we conclude this series on Amos. From destruction to expansion is the pattern of the kingdom cause of Jesus Christ. From destruction to expansion is the pattern of the kingdom cause of Jesus Christ. Mula sa pagkawasak tungo sa pagkakalawak ang siyang makikita nating progreso ng kaharian ng Panginoong Hesukristo. So here was the dynasty of David at that time close to ruins. And yet Amos prophesied that one day it will again stand, it will again be robust, and through that dynasty, God is going to fulfill all His words concerning His kingdom. Now this is the word of prophecy, but make no mistake, Amos is saying, and he is saying this to the Israelites who have rejected the Davidic dynasty, he is telling them, this is going to be fulfilled through David. And the New Testament understood this to mean, this is fulfilled through the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you will appreciate this message, it will require of us two attitudes to exercise in our own time. The first is commitment to the honor of the king. Commitment to the honor of the king. And secondly, confidence in the cause of the kingdom. Commitment to the honor of the king and confidence in the cause of the kingdom. So first of all, if we will apply this to our time, the same way that the New Testament church found application to their time, it will first require commitment to the honor of the king. Again, we go back to Amos. Remember that he was speaking to the people of Israel. The northern kingdom have rejected the Davidic dynasty. Remember when the divided kingdom happened after Solomon, who was the son of David, the kingdom divided. And the northern kingdom had their own king. They began a new dynasty in Jeroboam the first, while the southern kingdom retained the Davidic dynasty. So that's the situation where Amos was sent to the kingdom that rejected the Davidic dynasty. And now he is telling them that a time is coming when there will be a restoration of the kingdom, but it will be through David. It is a call to repentance to the Israelites. You have rejected the Davidic dynasty. Now, if you will have any share in that restored kingdom, it will be through the way of the king you have rejected. And that still is something we need to emphasize in our day. This is what the Jerusalem Council picked up from this passage. What is the significance now for the church? The significance is in the way Gentiles are being converted. James said, this is according to Amos. Yung nakikita nating pagkakaligtas ng mga Hentil, ito na yung katuparan na ang kaharian ni David ay muling ipinapanumbalik. Makikita natin yan sa mga kaligtasan ng mga bansa. Yan ang katuparan. Eh sa mga katwid, nararanasan pa rin natin ngayon ang katuparan ng katotohanan ng propesya na ito. Pero, katulad ng hamon ni Amos sa kanyang henerasyon, ang makakaranas ng ganitong katuparan ay yung makikita ito kay Amos, kay David, sa bagong tipan kay Hesukristo. And that means, brethren, the honor of Christ is that which draws the line. The honor of Christ draws the line between those who are His people and those who are outsiders of the kingdom. Amos spoke of the Gentiles called by the name of David. James in Acts 15 calls, considers those Gentiles called by the name of the Lord. And to us, that means what separates people who belong to the kingdom of God and those who do not belong to the kingdom of God are those who are called by the name of the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the words of Amos would have been a bitter pill for the people of the northern kingdom. Since the time of the division of the two kingdoms, Jeroboam II, who was the contemporary king when Amos prophesied, Jeroboam II was already the 14th king since the division of the kingdom. Not only the 14th king, 150 years would have passed since the division of the kingdom. So in other words, Amos was addressing people who had been in this situation for 150 years and with their 14th king. In other words, there's the idea of legitimacy because of longevity. Parang lihiti mo na kasi antagal na. Parang ganun ang gusto nilang palabasin. Parang yung mga, pag mayroong mga demolition ngayon sa mga squatters, pag ini-interview ng media yung mga squatters, ang lagi nalang sinasabi, ang tagal-tagal na namin dito. Bakit kami palalayasin? Parang sinasabi nila na lihiti mo na dahil ang tagal na nila ron. Hindi nila maisip na ang tagal na nilang ninakaw yung lupang hindi kanila. Pero ganito ang sitwasyon dito. It's been 150 years. Jeroboam II was now the 14th king of the northern kingdom, which has rejected the Davidic dynasty. And they may be thinking, it's been so long, and we now have the 14th king. And not only that, Jeroboam II is proving to be a very good and effective king. There was prosperity in the northern kingdom under his regime. And so all this could combine in the thoughts of the Israelites and convince them there's nothing wrong with us. It's been so long, and we're having it good in our time in the regime of Jeroboam II. But that's exactly what Amos' prophecy is demanding, that they should see the situation as illegitimate. They have rejected the Davidic king, and God's restored kingdom is going to be through David. Now, James found the prophecy of Amos as befitting the issue of the Gentiles. The Jews may fanatically insist for so long there have been no Gentile as part of the kingdom of God. Why would we accept them now? Even though clearly from the prophecy, this will happen, when in fact it happened, they could not accept it. And James had to correct them, and so did Paul. And James found the prophecy of Amos as very befitting this issue. Gentiles are included, kasama ang mga hentil sa mga aabutin ng ibinalik na kaharian ng Diyos. Kasama silang makakaranas ng kaligtasan na hindi kailangan maging Hudyo sa pamamagitan ng circumcision. And so that's the contention of James, and he is saying that this is being fulfilled right here. And you can't see it. Now, what that tells us is something still very applicable in our time. It means that the grace of God in the kingdom is both inclusive and exclusive. Now let me explain. Now, when I say inclusive, I mean no one is excluded just because of his race, culture, personality, background. That's what the Jews could not accept in the time of the New Testament. They could not accept that Gentiles will now be included. And so we have here James trying to explain it includes now Gentiles without need of circumcision. Now, for our time, there is an application to this because we tend also to exclude. We tend to exclude in terms perhaps of personality, in terms of race, in terms of culture, in terms of status. We are very much comfortable with our kind. our kind of culture, our kind of status, our kind of personality. And we may not realize it, we are excluding people whom God has included. And we need to have that inclusive mentality, which James is correcting among the Jews of his time. Inclusive. Maring mayroon kang kaibigan. Sa pag-iisip mo pa lamang na hindi mo pa na isi-share yung gospel, meron ka ng konklusyon. Maaring kamag-anak. Maaring kakilala mo. Alam mo na yung ugali ng taong yun. Kahit hindi mo pa na ibabahagi ang ebanghelyo, may konklusyon ka na. Wala yan. Labas na yan ang kaharian. That's the attitude that the Jews have demonstrated and James was trying to correct. So we need to have a mentality of inclusion. No one is excluded because of what he is. But then, with inclusiveness, I add exclusiveness. And what do I mean by that? By that I mean only in Christ. There is inclusion for everyone, but only in Christ. Outside of Christ is damnation. So here is the true exclusiveness of the gospel. Jesus himself said, no one can come to the Father but by me. The Apostle Peter said, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we may be saved, only the name of Jesus Christ. And if I'm speaking to anyone here who wants to be saved and yet you're trying to imagine that it can happen by way of church, by way of religion, by way of good works, you are facing damnation outside of Christ. The only way anyone can be saved is exclusively through Christ. And the invitation to you is come to Christ. Don't depend upon your being part of a church or part of a religion or because you profess a particular faith. You must come to Christ if ever you will experience the blessings of grace. So it is inclusive, it includes all, it is inviting all, but it is exclusive. It can only be through Christ. And this is the point of Amos to the Israelites. You have rejected David, and there is no kingdom of God apart from David. And it is a call to repentance. That's still how the people today will be drawn by distinction is by the line of the honor of Christ. Now that means, by way of challenge, seek the honor of Christ. That's how you are to distinguish your life. Seek the honor of Christ. As a church in our Christian life, this is our absolute distinctive. Our absolute distinctive, what makes us different from the rest of humanity who do not serve Christ, is that we honor Christ. Yan yung ikinaiiba natin. Na tayo ay nagpaparangal sa ating Panginoong Hesukristo. Now, yung division, the division between the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom is a good illustration of this for our present time. When the division happened, you know, the 10 tribes went to the Northern Kingdom. Only 2 tribes remained with the Southern Kingdom. Now, by any mathematical comparison, you will say the Northern Kingdom had the advantage. Lamang, yung Northern Kingdom, 10 ang sa kanya. 10 tribo yung sumama. 2 lamang yung naiwan sa Southern Kingdom. By any natural assessment, the Northern Kingdom apparently won that round of division. They have the majority, they have the larger territory. But one thing remained with the Southern Kingdom, the Davidic line. And with the Davidic line, there was Jerusalem. And there was the temple. In fact, when there was a war between Israel, the Northern Kingdom, and Judah, the Southern Kingdom, King Abijah, who was then ruling the Southern Kingdom, made this impression upon the Israelites. You may have more people, but we have the line of David. We have the priests of Aaron. In other words, we have what's legitimate that you have rejected. Now, for our time, we may be tempted to think in the same direction. It seems that those outside of Christ have the 10 tribes. They have the larger territory. They have more people. And we may be tempted to think they have the advantage. Well, that's wrong thinking. The right way of thinking is we have Christ. And Christ is the legitimate ruler of the kingdom. He is the legitimate king to whom all other kings will one day submit. Kaya wag nating isipin na timbangin ng paramihan o ng palakihan ng kayamanan, impluensya, teritoryo. Ang usaping ito ay tingnan natin sa usapin ng karangalan ng Panginoong Hesukristo. It is that which separates, and therefore God's people should be distinguished by this. They are committed to the honor of the legitimate king. They are committed to the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us as a church be in all our activities, have this as our distinctive, that we seek to honor Christ. In our worship, what makes the worship of the church a worship that truly delights God? It's not the pomp or the liturgy or the order. What it is that delights God is that Christ is exalted. And so you ask yourself, am I here to exalt Christ? Am I here not just to go through the motions, but am I here because I must exalt the Lord Jesus Christ? It is so easy to pay lip service to the honor of Christ as a mere profession. But the real question is, do I honor Christ? Remember, one of the things that Amos warned again and again in our past messages is that of playing religion. And playing religion means you may be in the worship place like Bethel in the north or the temple in the south. You may be in the worship place and doing all kinds of sacrifices and paraphernalia of worship. But for all those activities, they were just playing. And that can happen to us. We may be in the church, we may be sitting down, and we may be doing and going through the motions. And yet the question is Christ honored? Are we seeking His honor? And it is possible that after sitting down in the church and having gone through the worship service, you go home without any note of Christ. And it is playing religion. Itong iwasan natin. Kaya nga ang punto rito na pinapakita ni Amos sa kanila, itatayong muli ng Panginoon ang kanyang kaharian. Ngunit ito ay sa pamamagitan ni David. And James picks that up and says, there is now conversion among the Gentiles. They do not need to become Jews by circumcision because they belong to Christ. It's all about Christ. What distinguishes us from the rest of those who do not belong to the kingdom is the honor of Christ. And the question for you and me is, am I committed to the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let it not be a hopping from one Bethel ceremony and temple sacrifice to the next, and yet without Christ. And see to your Christian life. Is your individual Christian life one that seeks to honor Christ, not in a routine of activities, but you seek to honor Christ when you pray, when you try to be careful about your testimony, when you try to be excellent in your work, you seek to honor Christ. And once again, I ask those of you who have yet to give your life to Christ, have you found the distinction of life in the Lord Jesus Christ yet? Or are you still finding it somewhere? Are you still trying to build your life around ambition, around relations, around material things? And you will find these things to be an illusion on the last day. What you need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And here another series of messages is concluding from this pulpit. And I need to ask you, have you responded to the word of God, to the word of gospel invitation? And that word of invitation is, come to Christ. And to those of us who profess to be members of the kingdom of Christ, what sets us apart is the honor of Christ. And so commit yourself afresh to that honor. Distinguish yourself from the rest of humanity by the honor of the king. Then secondly, the second attitude that this demands of us is confidence in the cause of the kingdom. May kumpiyansa naman tayo dapat sa simulain ng kaharian. The very figure of rebuilding the ruins of David and making a tabernacle out of it is very inspiring if you really think of it. May inspirasyon dito na yung wasak na ay muling itatayo. At sa pagtatayo noon, hindi lang basta itatayo, kundi magiging tabernakulo pa, dako ng panambahan. So from the ruins, it will be rebuilt and it will become a tabernacle of David. And then it is followed by another figure that is meant to portray the productivity of the land in the restored kingdom. May sinabi rito na magpapang-abot daw yung umaani, the harvester, and then the reaper and the sower. Ang significance niyan ay doon sa cycle of the land in Israel, after a harvest, the law requires that there should be a period that the land shall lie fallow. Meaning, wag munang tamnan, pagpahingahin yung lupa para mas maging productive sa susunod. Pero dahil napaka-productive ng lupa sa restored kingdom, ang sinabi rito ng propesya ni Amos, yung lupang yun, magpapang-abot yung umaani, aabutan ng nagtatanim. There was no need to have a period that the land lies fallow because it is so productive. In fact, it is so productive, it is compared to a mountain dripping with wine. Now, how do we interpret this? Now, many choose to await fulfillment of this in literal terms. They say that this will be fulfilled, it has to be fulfilled in Jerusalem sometime in the future, which they call the millennium. That's how they interpret it. It must be interpreted literally as Amos said it should be. Well, I choose to interpret it in the way James and Paul and Barnabas and the New Testament church interpreted it, as we read it in Acts 15. And I think that is the safest course. Gamitin natin yung interpretasyon mismo ng mga apostol sa propesya ng lumang tipan. Yan ang tamang pananaw. Kaya hindi natin dito hinihintay na talagang mangyayari sa isang lupain sa Jerusalem na magkakaroon ng pagsasaka ng mga tao na mayaman ng masagana ang ani. Tanggapin natin yung interpretasyon ng mga apostol. At sa interpretasyon ng mga apostol, mangyayari ito kapag nakikita na natin yung mga hentil ay naliligtas at pumapasok sa kaharian ng Diyos. That's the interpretation of this passage. And I accept wholeheartedly the apostolic interpretation. And what it teaches us is that the kingdom cause of Christ is guaranteed by divine promise to be fruitful and expansive. Kaya ginamit ang ganitong larawan ay para bigyan tayo ng conviction na yung kaharian ni Jesucristo ay magiging mabunga. Every instance of Gentile inclusion is fulfillment of this prophecy. And we need to believe in the fruitfulness of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is an attitude today that corresponds to the fanatical Jews. They would not accept unless these people are just very much like them. They would not accept that this is the work of God. And there is an attitude that fanatically exalts a group instead of a kingdom. And we need to watch against that attitude. As one who teaches in a Reformed Baptist seminary, and one who deals with Reformed Baptist pastors, I see much of this attitude. The attitude, because they have seen the Reformed Baptist truth, which I defend and love dearly, and yet they cannot see beyond it. They think God's work is confined to the fence that they belong to, and that is fanaticism. We must believe in the wideness of God's work. You see, when you have that fanatical attitude, the next step is a retreat into excuses for not seeking to grow, for not evangelizing. And what's next is justifying their smallness. We will not justify smallness. We will seek to grow because that is what's promised. What we are avoiding are the statistical orientation of growth. And try to think of growth merely in numerical terms. And try to think of growth in terms of marketing. But we do want growth. We do want to see the kingdom of Christ expanding because that is the promise. Remember the words of Jesus, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Pag tayo namigay ng mga imbitasyon sa ating komunidad para sa DVBS, itong ilagay mo sa iyong isipan. Nag-aanyaya ka ng mga taong na alam mo ay maaring isama sa kaharian ni Kristo. Kapag ikaw ay nakikipag-usap sa isang individual patungkol sa Ebanghelyo, ilagay mo ito sa iyong isip na maaring ang taong ito ay maisama sa kaharian ni Kristo sapagkat ang kaharian ni Kristo ay mabunga at magiging masagana. And one thing that we need to hold to if we will have that attitude is believe that God is able to rebuild from the ruins. This is the picture of Amos. The figure of Amos is intended to show what God will do when Messiah comes. He will rebuild from the ruins. But it also becomes the pattern of God's ways with His cause. He begins with something helpless, small. So small and helpless that the natural way of looking at it is contempt and dismissal. This happened on the cross. When Jesus was there on the cross, people said, others He saved, Himself He cannot save. There was contempt. And Apostle Paul said that He came in the appearance of weakness on the cross. That's the pattern. The way God makes His cause to progress is to begin with something small, something helpless, something so insignificant. And you may be in such a situation. You sense perhaps where you are that you're so helpless, whereas the wisdom of the world is so well entrenched. Yet biblical convictions are effectively silenced by pressure, even by insult. And perhaps you choose to be silent. Well, don't be. Recover this belief that you are a member of a kingdom that is intended to be fruitful, guaranteed success, one who is under, as we were studying this morning, Christus Victor, the victorious Christ. Do not treat the smallness or the ruins as the final word. That's the point of Amos. You see the ruins, you may think that is the end of the story. It is appealing, as I have said, to end the story of Amos with justice done. But that's not how Amos ends. He ends instead in a note of hope. The ruins are not the end. The ruins will yet rise into a structure that will in fact become a tabernacle. Perhaps your particular ruin is a very small hope of ministry. And until now, perhaps you don't see it growing in fruitfulness and you tend to give up. Perhaps it is the salvation of your child, as it is mine. And perhaps you're thinking, I don't see it, and you may be close to giving up. Well, don't, because the God of the kingdom is one who has proven Himself time and again, who can rebuild from the ruins and make the structure of the tabernacle. Sana itong asahan natin. Amos was sent at a time that was almost hopeless, unjust times. And yet, with the oracles of judgment, Amos ends with a note of hope. May that be the way we look at life, the way we look at ministry, the way we look at challenges. The ruins are not the final statement. God can rebuild from the ruins. But we must commit ourselves to the honor of the King, and we must have confidence in the cause of the kingdom. Let's close in prayer. O dakila naming Diyos, tulungan mo kaming unawain dito sa pagtatapos ni Amos, na sa halip na magtapos siya sa paksa ng paghuhukom at ipakita lamang ang iyong hustisya, nagtapos siya sa usapin ng pag-asa, ng katubusan, ng panunumbalik ng kaharian. At tulungan mo kaming makita na ang propesiyang ito ng panunumbalik ng kaharian, katulad ng pangunawa ng mga apostol sa Bagong Tipan, ay nagkaroon ng katuparan sa gawain ng iglesia kung saan ang ebanghelyo ay ipinapangaral at ang mga hintil sa iba't ibang mga dako ng mundo ay nakakapasok sa kaharian ng Panginoong Hesukristo. And help us, Lord, to realize from this that indeed the kingdom of Christ is inclusive. No one is excluded by virtue of his race, culture, personality, social status. Everyone is invited. And indeed, we pray that there will be those in this congregation who may yet be out of the kingdom, that your arm will reach and that your word will make clear the invitation to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet at the same time, what is inclusive is also exclusive. It can only be through the Lord Jesus Christ and no one else. It is damnation to seek this outside of Christ. And so we pray that once more you make this message truly effective and convicting. Speak to those who are yet outside of Christ and perhaps trying to make sense of life through their ambition, through their career, through many things in this world, but they will all prove to be delusion apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray therefore as we end this series that you will yet extend your arm to bring the lost to Christ. And on our part, refresh in us that which distinguishes us as a people. And it is not about the large territory that the northern kingdom enjoyed, not the greater number of tribes, not the greater power, but it is like in the southern kingdom, the retention of the Davidic line. May we therefore glory not in the external things, but may we glory in the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we commit ourselves afresh to this commitment that we honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to see in our own church that this is what distinguishes us when we worship, when we proclaim doctrines, when we minister, when we evangelize, that we seek to honor Christ. Help us to see to our own Christian life that it must be one that seeks to honor Christ, not a routine of activities, not a mere profession of some doctrines, but let it be the honor of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the figure that Amos concludes his prophecy with, the figure of great productivity, the figure of ruins rising into a tabernacle. And may that give us confidence that the kingdom cause of Christ is guaranteed divine fruitfulness and expansion, that we are not in a losing errand, but our mission is one that is guaranteed victory. And therefore, may we not have the attitude of a pessimist or the defeatist who justifies smallness, but may we learn to expand our reach in our ministries believing that everyone is invited to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that there is that confidence we can exercise in your ability, proven time and again in biblical times, proven time and again in history, that you rebuild from the ruins. And perhaps there are those of us who are now in the ruins of our own making, and perhaps giving up that there ever can yet be a structure out of the ruins. Convince us once more that our God is a rebuilding God, one who rebuilds from the ruins, and may we therefore push ourselves by your grace to see the rebuilding from the ruins. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.